Okay, before we get started this week, go vote. Go vote. Remember, you are voting this year. If you're one of those awesome fans who I love, who is listening to this show in the week that it comes out, that Election Day hasn't happened yet, it's not too late. Get your butt down there and vote. If you've got early voting, then go do that. Hey, my brother's house just got wiped out by a flood. He has nothing. He is destitute. My parents' house, gone. All of them down in Texas, all of them have voted already. They've already taken care of their vote, even amidst all this tragedy, because voting is that important. And I think they probably all voted for Beto O'Rourke. But still, which is not a bad thing, I'm just saying. The point is, for you, it doesn't matter who you vote for. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, I don't care what you want to vote for. Just get out there and do it, because you're a good citizen and you're a voter. You know what? In fact, more than being a voter, because we all like that point of pride of being able to say that we're a voter, that we are civically minded, that we care about our community. But more than that, you want to be a midterm voter. You want to be able to proudly say, I am a midterm voter. It just shows that next level of commitment. Plus, you get that nifty sticker to wear all year. Or, as in my case, I put the nifty sticker on the outside of my laptop, which I think this will be up to my third or fourth. I can't see the case from here. But I keep all of my I voted stickers, and some of them are so worn that you can barely read what they say on them. Right next to the I remembered to brush sticker that I stole from the dentist's office. So that's not important. The important thing is, go vote. You can do this. All right. If you've got kids who are voting age, make sure they're doing the proper thing and they're voting. Make them voters as well, because a lot of kids, we got low turnout among our young people. That's a perennial problem. It's always been there. Get people to vote. All right. Me, I sat down with Aiden a couple weeks ago. We made sure he was registered to vote. We got it done online. It was super easy. It took all of 30 seconds. And then come Election Day, we could early vote in Nebraska. We are allowed to. But, instead of driving over to the next town where the Election Commission office is to do our voting there, we're just going to do it on Election Day, because we have the time and we are lucky enough to live in an area where we have plenty of polling places and staffing there, and thus we don't have lines, we don't have any waiting, we don't have any issues. We're going to go out that day to my polling place first. We're going to fill out my ballot, which I could go to the private booth, but I can also just go sit at one of the tables, and Aiden is perfectly welcome to sit with me and we can talk about the issues as I fill out my ballot. So that he understands what's on there, which I think for us, we've got a lot of candidates. We've got senator, we've got our congressman, we've got some local races going on, but also we have expansion of Medicaid in Nebraska, which, fingers crossed, I'm really hoping for. But you know what? We can sit down, we can do it together, and then we'll drive over to his polling place, and he'll get his done, and it'll be awesome. And then I will have, not only can I brag that I'm a voter, I can brag that I've helped my son become one too. And that feels pretty awesome. So get out there, vote. If you have any questions, you can always go to votesaveamerica.com. Votesaveamerica.com will allow you to plug in your name and address, and it will check and tell you whether or not you are properly registered to vote, and if so, where and what your polling place is. If you have to worry about matching ID, it will tell you exactly the information that you have on file. And from there, there's also a link where you can click and see what your ballot will look like. So you can have all your stuff, even if you don't go early vote, even if you haven't got the ballot in your hand already, you can go see what your ballot looks like, see what the issues are, if there's any research you want to do. Again, I don't care who you vote for, just go vote, because that makes this world a better place if we all get out and do it. So that's all I got. Let's get on with the show.
Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and
I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 246 of Nerd Pride Radio. 246. Number 246 is a restaurant in Decatur, Georgia. Thank you, Emily, for that one. I appreciate it. I wanted to see what sort of restaurant number 246 is, and apparently it's the sort of place that is so upscale it doesn't need numbers after the decimal point in its prices. Yeah, you've been to one of those fancy restaurants? So Trout is $29. It's not $29. It's not $29.50 or $28.95. It's just $29. That's just the number. Spaghetti and meatballs for two is $38. Oh, and they don't need a little change. That's just clearly the upshot of this. But they are also, even though they're fancy-pantsy like that, they're also just laid back and hip enough to call their mushroom pizza the Fungi Pizza, or Fungi? How do you pronounce that one? You would think that's a word I know. And the one with three meats? Yeah, that's the Wise Guy Pizza. So no clue on why the 246. I didn't delve that far into their history, but oh well. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, voting nerd. I am a midterm voter. Plus, there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to Haveron about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in Cloud City, high above the surface of Bespin. Oh, the view is gorgeous from up here. Oh. Now, before we get started, that's right, it's time for yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! Last episode, I stated that China had the largest economy on Earth. And Akiva, my friend, my listener, My compatriot here, Akiva rightly pointed out that it's actually a close second to the United States. However, I counterpointed out after Googling it that the U.S. was only number one in terms of raw dollar amounts. China's been number one in purchasing power parity for like 4 years. So, I was technically correct. The best kind of correct. But, sadly, I didn't actually know that when I made the statement on the last podcast, and so I'm not going to coast by on technicalities. Akiva's got me dead to rights. I stand corrected. The U.S. does, in fact, have the largest economy on Earth. Okay. Next up, a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
That's right. Meta talk is where I open the kimono, pull back the curtain, show you how the sausage is made. And, you know what? I'm going to leave that part out for now on. Let's just do in some inside baseball, whatever it is. It always makes me feel a little squeaky to say I'm going to open the kimono and show you how the sausage is made. It doesn't that feel wrong? It's not intended like that, but I like open the kimono, so I just should do that first, but maybe I'll just reverse them. You know, MetaTalk is where I pull back the curtain a little bit. There's no good way to do it. You don't open with the, never mind, forget it. It's behind the scenes stuff. Okay, I missed the last couple of weeks. Where you been, Mike? I've been really busy. Something weird about this year, ever since the school year started, just an odd schedule. We've got scouts every other Sunday, which is usually when I record. And so, scouts has wound up just cutting into the time, and something about not having Aiden around. I don't know. So, I am working on fixing this. As any of you who have checked out Listener Betrayal already know, I'm recording this one on Saturday. I'm getting ahead of the game. And so hopefully I can kind of work the schedule around. Because I don't want to get back to a point where I'm missing a whole bunch of stuff, taking that much time off. I don't mind missing one episode every couple of months, but it's been happening more and more often lately, and two in a row just really bugs me. So can't promise it won't happen again, but I'm trying because I'm just really excited to be here, and I'm really excited to talk to you guys. So let's do this thing. We're going to get to the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind since the last time I talked to you. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week or life, I add it to my master list. And the best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. Or you know what I mean, you lucky dogs. Straight to that master list. Here it is.
And now for something completely different.
That's right, something completely different. This is just stuff that doesn't fit into any of my neat regular categories. And this one is it's a serious one. It is the flooding that took place in Texas. As many of you already know, my brother, well, you also know if you listen to the opening of the podcast, my brother and my parents live in Marble Falls, Texas, and the flooding in the hill country down there wiped out both of their houses. Not completely wiped out. Frames are still standing, but it is, they've had to gut those houses entirely. I mean, they're just frames and siding left over, and they're gonna have to rebuild. And so, alright, first off, everybody's fine. Nobody got hurt. They got out safely. They got their dogs out. Not much else. But, here's the thing. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. My dad gets a knock at the door and it's a police officer saying, yeah, you guys need to evacuate now. And my mom says, okay, well, are we going to have time to bring up the canoes and stuff from the lake? And pretty much the answer is, it is way too late for that. You need to go now. And so they open their back door or their back window. And sure enough, the lake is in their backyard, which you got to know, they live up the hill from the lake. They have lakefront property, but you know, they've got the lake and then there's the dock and all the stuff that they have down on the water. And then you have to go up a pretty steep hill to get to their back fence and their official backyard. I mean, that's all their property down the water, but to get to their backyard, you got to come way up. I mean, it is many, many feet up. And so the river at this point, I don't want to put a number on it because I don't know the exact number, but I mean, we're talking like the river's risen 15 feet at this point. And it's time to go because it's almost to the house. So they get themselves and their dogs and their medications and they pile into my mom's car and they get the hell out. And they got out just in time. My brother and his family as well with, you know, my brother, his wife, the 6 kids that happen to be at home at the moment, their 6 dogs, and they got out. So, and everyone's safe. They had found places to stay and they've been working on cleanup and they've been working on all sorts of stuff since then. But just to go back to the start of this really quick, everyone down there has had such a positive attitude. They are so, so optimistic about it, I know that there's lots of ups and downs, and I know there's been a lot of tears and a lot of heartache and a lot of hopeless moments, but then they've got really good community support down there and wonderful people around them, and they're getting things done. And like I said, they're all putting a great face on this one, but I would like to be mad on their behalf because, as I asked my dad, I said, Dad, what, are you falling asleep on the job? I thought you were the one who obsessively watched that river level. And he's like, son, I did. And he apparently was up until like 2 a.m, 3 a.m. that night because, you know, everyone knew the rains were coming. The lake that they're on, this is all part of flood control. And so there's a whole series of like 5 lakes down there. There's this Lake LBJ, or Lake Marble Falls or Lake, anyway, they got all these, a series of like 5 lakes separated by dams. And so when they need to do flood control, they open and close the different dams and they can adjust the water level. And in general, unless there's a really severe set of weather like there was this time, normally they just keep everything moderated and nobody's in any danger and nothing gets damaged because that's what the whole flood control is for. But my dad always worries when there's bad weather. And so he's always watching to see when are they going to open up this dam? When is the water level expected to go up and down? This kind of stuff. He's obsessive about it. I'm like, how did you miss this? And he said, I didn't. I was watching. He said, they must have opened the floodgates at like 1 a.m, midnight, something like that. They had to have opened it in the middle of the night for the water to be in our backyard by morning. They didn't bother to tell us until we had 15 minutes to get out. This is the part where I'm going to be angry for them is, what the hell, dudes? Seriously? And dudes is, gender neutral in this case because there may well be women on the board of the Lower Colorado River Authority. I don't know. But good Lord, man. you couldn't have told them when the gates were opening, but you didn't want to wake people up in the middle of the night. You figured you'd wait till six. Did it not occur to you that there were people there? I don't understand. I'm sorry. It's time for some nerd rage. I'm not going to run the theme for it, but this is my rage. Oh my God. Like, had you, I don't know, announced this at midnight or 1 o'clock or whenever the decision was made, and maybe put off some sirens, maybe sent warnings to everyone's phones, maybe gone and woke them up then you know what would have happened? My parents would have gotten out with packed suitcases, and they would have had clothes and sundries for the next couple of days. They would have gotten out all of their irreplaceable paperwork and valuables. They would have gotten all their cars out. They could have gotten their boat off the... They could have... Oh, my God. If they had had 5 hours instead of 15 minutes, then my dad wouldn't have lost his car and his truck, and the insurance company wouldn't have to pay, you know, an extra $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for some of this extra material. That there was no reason they needed to lose it. No reason whatsoever. And again, it's insurance. It's covered. I mean, you're never going to get back everything, but for the most part, they're going to be made right. But why is the insurance company having to pay out all this money when all you had to do was tell us you were doing it and we could have saved a bunch of this stuff? Or they could have. I don't get it. And like my dad says, look, if they chose to open those floodgates at that time of night, then that means they knew ahead of time that that's what they were going to do. And it means that they forecast this. They should have had this 24 hours ahead of time. They should have had it in the forecast that said, yes, it's inevitable. We're going to have to do this. It's not like this level of floodwater just surprises them. They knew it was there. He's like, they could have told us the day before. We could have had 24 hours to get out. I don't get it. It's just bullshit. So anyway, that's my rage. And that is why I am severely angry with the Lower Colorado River Authority. So, now, onto the positive side. There is a fundraiser, for my brother's family. My parents are gonna be okay. I don't want to delve into their money issues, but my parents are going to be okay. It looks like they will be allowed to rebuild. They were worried that they might not. They're going to be allowed to fix up the house without having to put it up on stilts or plow it under or whatever. They're going to be able to fix it. And my parents will have enough insurance money that they should be able to be fine with all of that. They're okay. My brother is a lawyer who does not make nearly as much money as you would think when I say the word lawyer. He's not wealthy. He has 8 kids to support, and it's not easy for them. And, again, I don't want to delve into their issues, but this is, I mean, he's missing out on work time as they're doing all this recovery stuff. I don't know how much leave time is built in for him, but he's, the insurance company, because the house is repairable, even though it's not livable, it is clearly not livable. And I don't even know if they've gotten a full appraisal on it yet. I don't even know if it's going to be, if they're going to be allowed to repair it, because the insurance company says, okay, it's repairable for about 60% of the value of the house. You know, they haven't done the full appraisal yet, but it's repairable. Whereas the city says, yeah, but if you have to do repairs, or remodeling or any improvement or change to your house that costs above a certain percentage of the value of your house, then you're subject to these laws which say that, oh, yeah, no, now you have to elevate it because you're in the flood area, so you're going to have to get the house off the ground, which means if they have to do that, it means my brother needs to plow his house under, and then with the, you know, 60% of the value of his home, build a more expensive home on the same ground. It's rough. And also, because the house is repairable, the insurance company is not paying for them to have another place to live in the meantime. So all that is straight out of pocket for, you know, the month or 2 months that it takes while they're still paying mortgage on a house that they may have to plow into the ground. It's ridiculous. So there is a fundraiser for my brother and his family. that is, you, if you go to nerdprideradio.com and check out my forums, every single forum has the fundraiser announcement right at the top with a link to the Facebook fundraiser. They have raised, I think, $9,000 now. People have been wonderful and generous and amazing. And I can't even imagine that, I mean, look, $9,000 is a huge help for them, but it's still not enough. And so, you know, if you guys want to help out and you're not anywhere near Marble Falls, Texas, then that is one way that you can do something for them if that's what you want to do. And if not, no pressure, but for people who would like to help, that is one way that you can do it. Speaking of the local help that they have, oh my God, it is almost, it feels a little twisted to say God, I'm kind of jealous. Look at all that community support they have. Look at all that love. Look at that. This has got to be a transformative experience. Not that I'm saying I want to lose all my stuff. I don't want to lose my house. I cannot imagine the heartache and tragedy in that as well. But, this is a life lesson, an experience that is going to change all of them, their kids, all of them for the rest of their lives to see this outpouring of community and warmth. And it's just, I'm tearing up just talking about it right now. This is tough. I'm not even there. Okay. They got just volunteers, just people who have showed up on their own time. They're taking time off of work. They're taking time off of their own lives to come in and help clean up and repair and just do everything that needs to be done. I mean, people that are shoveling, mud out of these houses. I mean, mud that is now full of dead fish and the house reeks to high heaven and they're doing all this filthy cleanup because it needs to get done. The tractor guy, dude has a bulldozer. He's got, you know, he's got his heavy equipment. He doesn't know anybody down here. He just showed up because, well, he lives close enough and he's got the heavy equipment. So sure, I'll take a few days off and come help everybody. And I mean, just in there throwing in with everybody else all day long, all week long. I just, again, makes me want to cry. It's amazing. Just go, if you haven't seen my brother's Facebook page, Kyle, go find him. Go look at all the stuff. Look at all the links to their stuff. It is just amazing everything that's gone on down there. And how I'm just so glad that there are so many people around them and in their lives willing to help out. So it's very cool. Also, if you can find it, God, I should just put a link to it in my forums. There is a video. It is a news report of my dad, Larry Jones. My dad being interviewed on the news about the flood and the cleanup and everything else going on. And it touches my heart. It is, he starts to talk and he does, he's my dad. So, so when he starts to talk about the flood, he's carrying, one of the things that he's able to recover out of this is the wedding picture of his parents. And so since he has it in his hands, he starts giving his documentary, presentation about his parents. And he starts talking about this, and my dad and, Bob Jones, he was a glider pilot during World War II. He flew a glider in, behind enemy lines at Normandy on D-Day. He goes through this whole thing about what a brave, wonderful man his dad was. And then he gets to talking about his mom and he chokes up and I've never seen my dad emotional like that in my entire life ever. And it was really touching and powerful. And anyway, I'll find a link. I'll embed that video somewhere, or provide a link to the page or something. I'll do it in the forums because, it was really cool. And I love my dad. And that's, now that I'm talking about him, my dad loves nothing more in this life than sharing information with people. It is something I get from him. And, I see a lot of myself, or a lot of him in me, I suppose, because when we go out, and this is what my wife and I love just riding around in the car with him. Whenever we're on our way to somewhere, if it's a long drive, my dad will find whatever's along the way. It's like, all right, and you see that building? That building used to be a whorehouse. And let me explain to you, this is, and he'll give you the whole history of the area, because he's fascinated by this stuff. And not only is he fascinated by it, it completely hooks him in, but he loves to share this stuff. And so he will give us historical data on the pink granite that's being pulled out of these mines, you know, miles from their house, or start giving you some biological facts about the mesquite trees and why they're here and the stuff that's around them, because he knows the biology of the whole ecosystem, and he's just a smart dude and fun to listen to. Anyway, enough about my dad. I will find that video though, and give you guys a chance to see that, because it's really cool. My mom not in the videos. I've seen pictures, photos, videos of my brother, my sister-in-law, a bunch of their kids, my dad. I don't think I've seen my mom in any of these. I don't know if she's actually even there. Weird, huh? Also, interestingly, I've never seen my mom and Batman in the same room together. So, what does that tell you? All right. Enough of that segment. Next up.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right, fingertips. These are the stuff that, it's just stuff off the master list that I'm just throwing at you in raw form. I haven't prepared them into segments. I'm not going to divide them out. We're just going to talk about what's on the list so I can check these things off. So first up, I went to the doctor a week ago, and I went in because my eye was infected, and it turns out I had a sty that had gotten severely infected, and the whole eyelid was swollen up, and it was gross. But the fun part is that I've had this mole on the side of my face that it's a little discolored, it's a little odd-shaped, and my wife was very, very worried about it. So she said, while you're at the doctor, make sure you ask about that mole. So I did. And I said, Doc, as long as I'm here, my wife would kill me if I don't ask about this mole while I'm here. And he says, oh, he gives me the scientific name for it. But essentially, it's a weird kind of mole that just comes with age. He says they are completely harmless. However, they don't ever stop growing. So if you don't do anything about it, eventually, you know, it'll be quarter sized, or it will, you know, that discoloration will take over half your face. It just keeps going. And you're going to get more of them, but, you know, we can take care of them really easy. He says, in fact, you know what? I got my tool here. I'll just burn that off for free while you're here. No charge. And so he does. And he gets out his little tool, and it's this little pen that apparently heats up to 2200 degrees, he tells me. And he just takes that little pen, and he just dots it across that mole until he burns the whole thing off my face. And he says, hey, and you get another one just a little bit back from it. I'll get that one while I'm here, too. So he does that one, too. And then for the next, like, 3-4 days, I had these two little scabs on my face, and they're gone, and everything looks fine. It's as if they were never there. Although, in the meantime, you know, you could smell burning hair and flesh, but you get over that. And he was so excited to go get his tool and burn it off, and you know what? I'll just do that for free while you're standing here. Okay, that is not the first time that's happened to me, is when I was first married, I had a large mole on the side of my neck, and this one was a huge raised thing, and it was big and it was ugly, and the doctor said that it was a different doctor at the time. I have a younger doctor now. My older doctor retired. But the doctor I had then, he took a look at that mole. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, he says it's harmless, but yeah, if you don't like it, you know what? I got the tool right here. I'll just burn it off. I won't even charge you. Like, literally, I'll just burn it off for free. This is a thing that apparently doctors like to do. And so he did. And as I'm telling this story to other people, my current doctor, Dr. Hanke, who is, by the way, Dr. Hanke, greatest doctor ever. Love this dude. But I'm telling this story about Dr. Hanke, and the person I'm talking to says, oh, yeah, you know what? My husband's construction crew was responsible for building his new clinic, and when they got done with it, there's a older dude on their crew, like a guy in his 60s, who has this huge wart on the bridge of his nose. And so after they had gotten done with most of the work, the doctor had, as he was talking to all of them, He's like, hey, I don't want to insult you, but, you know, if you want to get rid of that, he's like, I have my tool here. I'll just do it for free right now. And burned that ward off the guy's face for free. And so as I'm putting all these facts together, I'm like, wow, that tool must be the most awesome thing a doctor gets to do all day, because this is now, you know, in my broad case study of two doctors, three total incidents, apparently they love getting that tool out and burning shit off, and they like it so much they're willing to do it for free because it's that easy and that cool for them. So I've got a physical coming up in a couple of weeks. And so while I'm there, I'm going to ask him about that and go, so the burning tool, what do you call that thing? Yeah, it's a lot of fun, right? That's got to be the coolest thing, because you're not the first doctor to offer to do that for free. We'll see what he says. So I'm interested. All right, next up. Okay, dude I work with, that he's in Lincoln and I am not. And so usually when me and Yancey have to deal with him, it's over the phone or it's through Skype or whatever. And every time we talk to him, every single time, it's as if he's one of those guys who can only communicate by roast. You know what I mean? One of those guys that everything has to turn into this banter of friendly insults. And it's an easy thing to fall into, because it's just jokes. It's, oh, well, yeah, I feel sorry for them having to work with you. And this kind of bullshit. But it's that was a gratuitous bullshit. That one, all the others so far have been completely natural and just, you know, molded into the conversation. I feel that one was a little forced. I take that one back. I retract my bullshit. All right. But the idea of communicating by roast, and it's like that's the only way he ever talks to us about anything. And I realized, yeah, I don't like that. I'll occasionally make a little joke like that, something that's, you know, just a little bit insulting, because it's obviously meant in jest and all that, but only if it really fits into the situation and it happens to be super funny, or at least more than mildly entertaining. And I don't know. Did I have a point? I don't. God, that really should just be the name of this podcast. Did I have a point? But it's the idea that I've just discovered that, yeah, I really don't like that. There's been times in my life where I've done that a lot myself. That just, you know, just, oh, friendly insults. It's just a great way to, you know, keep people at kind of a distance and yet still show that, you know, you're fun and funny and, you know, we're all in on the joke together and whatever. But yeah, I don't like it. I've decided I don't like that at all. I'm going to try and do less of it because, you know, I don't know. It's still negativity. Even if it's joking, it's still negativity. And I'm not in favor. And I've been trying, like with this guy in particular, there's been other people that we do that with. There's a guy, also down in Lincoln, who is just, he's a ton of fun, and he's just a grumpy old man. And he's not old by any stretch. He's like 50, but he tries to pretend that he's this grumpy, cantankerous, get off my lawn old man, even though he is not. But that's how he keeps people at bay. And when he's really just the sweetest, nicest guy. And I realized that, you know, over the years, maybe it's Yancey that inspires this in people. Maybe. I don't know. But over the years, we kind of developed this, you know, communication by roast mentality, where it's just, you know, just friendly jabs back and forth. And I decided I didn't like that. So with him, I decided to start toning it back, and I made sure that I was being very sincere about how much I appreciate him. And, you know, hey, thanks for this. And it's changed how he and I talk together, and I like it way better now. This other dude, the first dude I was talking about, I can't get. I've tried, and he's just locked in that mode. So, I mean, I'll keep trying, but I don't think I'm going to get anywhere. All right, that's enough. All right. There is a dad. He is the father of one of the scouts that's in the same troop as Noah and Eli. And this guy, Jim, whenever we go camping, whenever we do scout stuff and we're out in the outdoors and we're out camping, Jim is never more than about 30 seconds from breaking out his fishing gear and throwing a line in the water somewhere. Like, even if we've got other stuff to do, he's like, all right, hold on a second. He'll just take 2 minutes. He'll get his line set up. Poles are in the water. Good. Everything's set. Great. Now let's go do what we're going to do. I'll go back and check those later. And this dude, it is, I guess my point about Jim and fishing is I wish everyone in the world had something in their lives that makes them as happy as fishing makes Jim happy. This man takes so much joy out of fishing, and not just joy in fishing, but he takes joy out of sharing his fish with other people. He loves getting something that he can fry up. And I mean, like, every time we've been camping, every time. Not only is he constantly fishing, but by the end of the day, he always has something, and he gets it all cleaned and battered up and fried, and we're having little fish nuggets or something that go with supper. Whatever we're having for supper, there's always some fried fish on the side with it, and it is delicious. It is really good. You know what makes Jim almost as happy as fishing? Almost as good as that for him is someone telling him, wow, this is really good fish. God, he just beams. He loves it. And Jim and I, we got nothing in common. Nothing at all. He is very much an outdoorsy guy. He is, just redneck, salt of the earth, kind of, I'm just a good dude, but not my kind of dude. You know, we don't have interests in common at all, but I love hanging out with him. I love watching him take joy in his hobby. I love more than that. It's not just the fishing and the sharing of the fish. He loves to share how to fish. Anybody, if you show even the vaguest interest, he will go get you a pole because he's got plenty. He will go get you a pole, and he will show you how to get everything wanted. He loves working with those scouts. He loves teaching the kids how to do this. It's his passion. He's got lots of other things in his life, but man, there's nothing that makes him happy like fishing does. And it is joyful. It is just joyful. I want to put the same enthusiasm into my hobbies, into the things that make me happy, because that is the way to live, man. That is great. It is, all right, almost as good as fishing. A food truck came around 3-4 weeks ago now, and it's the Hertz Donut truck. All right, yeah, what's a Hertz Donut? And so the Hertz Donut truck comes around, and it is, their donut truck is an ambulance. It is the emergency donut truck. And it is, they style it like an ambulance, and when they open up the back, there is nothing but 300 dozen donut boxes. Okay, they have boxes of a dozen donuts, and they have 300 of those at least packed into the back of this van. Everything in it is just filled with boxes of donuts. And then you walk up, and for $15, you get a box of donuts. Nope, you don't get any choices. Every box has a dozen donuts of different types, and you get a box of donuts, and that's it. That's all you can get is boxes of donuts. and they are very fancy, dressed up gourmet donuts. So, you know, there's a s'mores donut, and there's, a strawberry cream cheese donut, and there was a caramel something or other. Anyway, there's so many different types, and they're all super fancy, and so they've got like, you know, all sorts of sprinkles and breakfast cereal and, you know, marshmallows and whatever else stuck to the outside of them. And they're awesome. Okay. There is a young lady who works with my wife. And the only reason we knew that the Hertz Donut truck was in town was because she's like, oh my God, the Hertz Donut truck is in town. The Hertz Donut truck. Is there any way? She's trying to talk her boss into letting her take the part of the day off so she can drive a half hour to where the truck is going to be, get a box of donuts and come back. And, there's no way her boss is letting her. She's a teacher. No way he's letting her take an hour off of, away from the kids to go buy a box of donuts. But, my schedule's flexible. I can go buy a box of donuts and just bring it to him on my lunch hour. And she was just, I mean, she was flipping out because the truck's only going to be in town for one day. Who knows when the next chance she'll have is. And I'm like, all right. Yeah, I'll go get you some donuts. And so I bring the donuts up, and it turns out, yeah, they are really good. Okay. But, you know, it's a lot of sugar, and I'm trying to go low carb, and it's a, ah, man. But man, she got her hands on the donut, and again, not quite as good as Jim with his fishing, but it was just amazing how happy it made her. Like ridiculously happy. Like I don't know if it's some nostalgic thing from her childhood that because she's not, she's still in her 20s. So, you know, is this something that she, I think she said there was a Hertz donut near something or other when she was growing up. And it was, so I don't know if this is a nostalgia thing. I don't know if it's a, if maybe the donuts that she got are actually really that good. But man, I've never, you would be amazed at how happy this donut made her. And I'm like, all right, that was worth $15 in a drive. That was worth it because damn, she happy. So how cool was that? Anyway, next up, the Rhind Mathematical Papyrus. Man, that sounds heavy, doesn't it? The Rhind Mathematical Papyrus, let's see, is in the collection of the British Museum. One of the best, okay, I'm just reading right now because I'm reminding myself. This is what I put in my notes. Best known example, one of the best known examples of ancient Egyptian mathematics. Named after Henry Rhind, Scottish antiquarian, who cares. And was purchased in 1858 in Luxor, Egypt, found during illegal excavations, in Egypt. And, alright, the thing comes from around 1550 BC. So this is a 3,500 year old math textbook, essentially. And, the Rhind Mathematical Papyrus is just fascinating. I could not stop reading about it for a while. And one of the best parts about it is as it does all this talk about math and how to use math, and then it starts giving sample problems for you to work out and then solutions on how to actually work them out. And so I got a little caught up there, working out some of these problems just for fun. And, it's not tough stuff. There's nothing on that, on this papyrus that I couldn't solve myself, because the math just wasn't as complicated 3,500 years ago. But it's still pretty in-depth. And, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, measuring volumes of grain silos or volumes of mounds and pyramids of stuff. You know, stuff that would be super useful to them, one would assume. And also, there was a crap ton of work on equivalent fractions. So, like, you know, if you have this particular fraction, it's easy. They like to take fractions, you know, like 3/10 or 2/7 or whatever, and break it down into unit fractions, meaning break it down to an equivalent of, okay, well, this is equal to 1/5 plus 1/3, or this is equivalent to, and that one was baffling me because it did a lot of stuff on that. Like breaking down fractions into simpler fractions, I guess. And I couldn't figure out why they would do that. And then it occurred to me that, oh yeah, I don't think they had a number system, like, with digits and place values and decimal points and all this. They were like working with just the numbers. It was as raw amounts without a way to organize them. And so therefore, when you're trying to divide things up, oh yeah, coming up with these equivalent fractions is definitely, oh, I get it. And it's just fascinating. So, if you're interested, the Rhind Mathematical Papyrus, R-H-I-N-D, Rhind. Although I'm sure if you look up Mathematical Papyrus, there's only a couple of them that are super famous. By the way, this isn't the only one. This happens to be the oldest, but there's one that's slightly younger that is much longer and more detailed. So, that very cool stuff. All right, let's see. Man, how much am I going to do on fingertips this week? Oh, okay. This one, I was going to make this into a rage, or I was going to make it into a discussion with Aiden, but ultimately, I just wrote down, you're not a photographer. And I just wanted to point out that, yeah, I know everyone with a camera who has taken a few good pictures, has decided that they're a photographer, especially there's young people who at some point as they're trying to decide on their college career, decide where they want to go with their lives. I know so many young people who went through a phase of, oh, you know what? I think I might study photography. And then 6 months later, yeah, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do photography. But yeah, you know, just having a camera and having the ability to take pictures doesn't make you a photographer. And yes, if you take 300, 400, 1,000 pictures, you're going to find a couple of good ones in there. But I am telling you, we got a friend of ours who is an actual photographer. She went to school for it. She's got a studio, and she's been doing this for 30 years. And the difference between the pictures, portraits that she does for people and the stuff that you get from the, oh yeah, I can't see paying that much for family pictures. I got a friend who will do it for, you know, $50, or I got a friend who will do it for, and the difference though is just night and day. It is, I mean, when you're a real photographer, it shows, and it is a work of art. And I'm not trying to discourage people and say that you can't, you know, you can't enjoy taking pictures and that you can't, even try and make a living at it. Just, you know, keep in mind that there's a difference between someone who has the training and the years of experience and someone who's just, you know, just been taking pictures for a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, maybe it's, but that sounds too judgmental. See, this is why I think I put this one off so long is it's not really that important. So, next on my list, H.R. Puffin stuff. Did you ever watch any of the H.R. Puffin stuff things? It may be before most of your time. Stuff from, Sid and Marty Krofft. And it was on TV, kids show, H.R. Puffin stuff. And they had these huge, human-sized puppets, puppets that were almost costumes or that were costumes. And they had these creepy sets. They were, okay, and that this is where this is coming down. Is that my whole point is if you've ever seen H.R. Puffin stuff or the earliest versions of McDonaldland, all right, the McDonald's advertising campaign, McDonaldland, from which we get Ronald and Mayor McCheese and Grimace and the Hamburglar, that was also Sid and Marty Krofft, and it is very reminiscent of H.R. Puffin stuff. They look, they have very similar design elements, and it's very obvious that they were made by the same people, just like a Tim Burton movie looks like a Tim Burton movie. Well, stuff by Sid and Marty Krofft looked like stuff by Sid and Marty Krofft. And my whole point about all of these is if you're not familiar with them, you know, maybe go do a Google search and just get a quick look. But my notes say they are creepy AF. Yeah, they are. How these were kids' shows, how they became the McDonaldland, I mean, that's for kids. And they are creepy. Creepy and scary. They are terrible. When I was 3 years old, maybe even 2 years old, I can't remember. I remember two nightmares that I had from when I was about 3 years old. All right? Two. And they were vivid, vivid, horrible nightmares. One of them was a nightmare where I came out and I was sitting on the curb in front of our house and my mom and dad were with me, but they were dressed in each other's clothes. They had switched their clothes, and thus, to my 3-year-old brain, by switching clothes, they have also switched genders. And I'm like, what's going on? And my mom in dad's clothes explains, oh, well, I'm dad now. And then they had a dress that they wanted to give to me because it was time for me to become a girl because that's how gender works, obviously, is it just depends on the clothes you wear. And that was a little frightening. And so I remember that, and I remember it being really bizarre and really scary. But that's not obviously the one I'm here to talk about. What I'm here to talk about is one that, yeah, I had nightmares about H.R. Puff and stuff. I had nightmares that, literally the floor was lava and we had these little tiny islands of H.R. Puff and stuff material with the little creepy trees and the creepy characters it was a horrible, horrible nightmare. But the whole point was it was H.R. Puff and stuff themed and look, they're creepy as hell to start with. But then, you know, be a 3-year old and have this horrible nightmare about them. That's terrifying. Can't believe that was ever kid stuff. Weird. All right. Last thing on the fingertips list. Yeah, you can tell I'm just scraping the bottom of the barrel. Look, I just want to get these off the list. They've been staring at me for weeks. Is nitrogen narcosis. I did not know. I mean, I knew when you do the deep sea diving stuff and the people get down. I mean, when we're talking really deep sea stuff and you're under, in high pressure environments, I knew that they replaced the nitrogen in the air with helium. And thus, when you try and talk to people who are, you know, working at the bottom of the ocean, they would have the high squeaky voice because they're breathing helium all the time. And I knew it had something to do with the pressure. I didn't know why. Well, the why is nitrogen narcosis. Apparently, under that much pressure, nitrogen gets you high or drunk. Like breathing nitrogen, and it will wind up getting into your bloodstream, and it will get you high, and you'll start to get super loopy from the nitrogen, and eventually it'll kill you. That's bad. So instead of nitrogen, then you get an air mixture that is helium and oxygen, and thus you're safe. So I did not know that. Now I do. All right, now we're done with fingertips. Oh, that's right. There is no closing fingertips music because that is also creepy. We don't do that anymore. So instead, we're going to move on to the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. First one is number 46 from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, would you rather be completely colorblind or have tinnitus? Assume the colorblindness is complete, it's just black and white vision, and assume the tinnitus is loud enough that it's ever-present, but not enough to make you hard of hearing. I would go with the tinnitus, although from people who've had tinnitus, it is not pleasant. Maybe I'm making a bad choice, but in my ignorance, I will go ahead and choose tinnitus because I think that's something I would eventually just zone out. I think it's something that, yeah, I would always be aware that it was there. If you concentrated on it, you can hear it. But in normal moments, it's just going to be background noise that you just don't even notice anymore. That's my guess. All right. And it'll also mean that my sense of hearing will be slightly dulled because there's always this background ringing that drowns out some of the quieter tones. But I'm still going to go with the tinnitus because I like seeing colors. I think my life would be a lot harder without colors. It's not, it's not debilitating, but it would suck. And neither one of these is debilitating. But they would suck. 13. 13 is from, it's from Phoebe. Hey, Phoebes. All right. Phoebe says, if you were going to be an Olympic athlete in one of these three sports, which would it be and why? Curling, water polo, or bobsledding? Okay. Man. All right. If I was going to be an Olympic athlete, I'm going to say water polo. I like curling better. I love curling. There's something about watching curling that is just fascinating, hypnotic. I would love to try it out. I would love to try it out. We did curling when I was in elementary school in upstate New York. Curling, at least during the Olympic year, curling was something we did in gym class, if you can believe that crap. So I have tried curling and I loved it then too. I like curling. I've watched bobsledding. I don't think I would enjoy bobsledding so much. But water polo, here's the deal. I also like water polo. I've played water polo. I love the water. I love swimming. Don't like it as much as curling. But if I am an Olympic athlete, so I am a person who can compete in one of these three sports. If it's water polo, that would be the healthiest version of these. Like, I mean, obviously I could be in really, really good shape to be any of these, but by necessity, if I'm an Olympic competitor in water polo, I'm in great shape. I'm super healthy. I'm going to live a lot longer because I'm super healthy. I don't have to be as healthy to be Olympically competitive in curling. I just need to be really skilled with the, anyway. So yeah, I'm going to go water polo. 98 is from Talvin. All right, Talvin. Talvin says, "Dear Mike," that's me, "my teenage Pathfinder character has attachment issues. What can the character do to overcome these issues and develop meaningful relationships with other members of his party?" Is this someone I know? Because if it is, isn't he married to one of the members of the group? I mean, that would seem to be meaningful. Maybe you wrote this a long time ago. But in general, develop meaningful relationships with other members of his party. You know, role-playing, interplayer role-playing outside of combat situations, outside of puzzle solving and plot-related issues, probably the way to go here. Spending some time, or you can do like a lot of us do, and just write filler stories about your character and how your character handles off time or between scenes time. And then when you post up those stories, you can create whatever character development for yourself you want, and everyone else just has to accept it and go along with it. Like, you could write in a meaningful relationship for yourself, and as long as you write well enough, we'll all buy into it. Heck, even if you don't write well enough, we'll still buy into it. So that would be the easiest way. It's just, you know, write it in and say it's already happened. But if you want to actually build a relationship, yeah, it's going to take some role playing. It's going to take some actual work. Yeah, that seems like a lot of bother, doesn't it? 92 is from Stan. Wow, 4 for 4 here. Stan says, F, Mary, Kill. So this is a bed, wed, or behead. Bed, wed, or behead. Oh, this is a tough one. Dualism, solipsism, or nihilism? This is a terrible choice because I don't like any of them all that much. But if I have to, I am going to... Oh, man. I am going to kill solipsism. Because that's... All right, just for definition's sake, and I went and Googled just to make sure that I wasn't talking out my ass here. My philosophy classes were very long ago. But dualism is the idea that there is a separate mind and body, that there is, yes, the physical material body, but then there is also in your mind, soul, spirit, whatever it is, there is also some non-material aspect to it that is possibly an eternal soul or is possibly, but anyway, something that is not definable just in terms of the hardware and the, you know, from dust we came sort of aspect of it, that there's more to it than just the molecules. That's dualism. Solipsism is, I think, therefore I am. It is, okay, all I know is that I exist. That's it. I know me. And now, anything that I can build from that is all I've got. Whereas nihilism is just, it's nihilism. It's just, there is no moral truth. There is no, everything is, you know, hell, existence itself is all kind of in doubt when you're a nihilist. But I'm going to kill solipsism because I don't like it. It bugs me. I think therefore I am. You know what? There is an existence outside of me, and that's just a thing that I know. And And yes, I know. I would have to justify that, but I'm not a philosopher, so I don't have to. So screw you. All right. Now, having gotten rid of solipsism, I am going to have a serious night of passion with nihilism because, one, that dude's got no moral compunctions about anything. And the desperation that comes with having nothing left to lose, I am all over that. That would make a hot date. And then dualism, look, I don't agree with dualism, but I see where you're coming from, and it is kind of the operating theory that most people who don't think too hard about it seem to live by anyway. And whereas, yeah, look, I don't believe that we are more than just molecules. I mean, like, physically, I think if you break it all down physically, I think you will find the keys to all of it and explanations for all of it just in the material goods. But it does all add up to a consciousness that thinks and recognizes itself and thinks it's different from the dirt that it came from. And it is the mode that we operate in because it feels qualitatively different to us. And so therefore, I could be married to dualism for the rest of my life and be okay with it. So, whew. 81. How many of these do we want to do, guys? I can't believe Ronster's not up yet. He does own a third of this list. You would think, Mrs. Darks. God, there's no Ronster here at all, apparently. You know what? We're going to fix that in just a minute. Mrs. Darks says, do you spell the color gray or gray? And if you spell out T-H-E-C-O-L-O-R, I reserve the right to smack you upside the head the next time I see you. I wish I had thought of that. If Noah had been here, Noah would have given that answer, I'm sure. I spell the color, as gray. Does that answer it? It is. I spell G-R-A-Y. I love G-R-E-Y. I feel it's a little pretentious, but I love gray with an E in it. But I, in my heart, I feel like the A is the correct spelling. The E is more of a name, and the A is the name of the color. Not that it matters, but that's how I feel about it. So, all right. We're going to do a few more Podomatics, but you know what? Since we didn't get any Ron, and Ron does own so much of this list, let's do an all Ron Podomatic section. All right. In fact, this would be the Ron-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Ron-O-Matic. Ron has sent me so many entries for the Podomatic that I'm just going to give him his own segment right now. Yeah, look at that. He's got not included in the main list, because the main list, he owns about a third of it, so there's like 50 of them in there. But there is 120 of them that are just sitting off to the side waiting to be entered in the list. Let's dig into that list. So, number 86 on Ron's list. 86 is... Oh, it's from Ron! And Ron said... Oh, hold on, let's number this one correctly. Number 6. All right. This one's from Ron, and it says, what was the name of the paranoia character you played that you enjoyed the most, and what were their talents? Mine was, I believe, a character named Red Army. It is the only paranoia character I've ever played, and I played it in an online, by-email paranoia game, and the game sucked. These people were terrible at it. People were posting moves out in public, which means there were no secrets, which means how can you play paranoia with no secrets? So I didn't enjoy it at all, and I wound up quitting. So, I mean, it did not take me but about 5 moves to realize that, oh, this is dumb. This is, you can't do a group list like this. It's ridiculous. So sadly, I don't have, and this was 20 years ago, so I don't remember anything about the character other than I'm pretty sure the name was Red Army, which was a name that I had used before for an NPC or for some other character. But I reused the name because I liked it. And so, and that's it. That's all I got for paranoia. 03.
03 is from, oh, I bet it's Ron. I bet it's Ron. Is it? It's Ron! Okay. Have you ever eaten squirrel or rabbit? And why would you do that? I have never eaten squirrel or rabbit that I'm aware of. No rabbit. I know I haven't eaten squirrel, and I had to think about the rabbit, because every now and then, I've tried a few odd things in my life, but not that many. And rabbit, nope, never gotten to it. So I would try it if I had either one of them available. The why would you do that? I would try it just because, well, if someone had some squirrel or some rabbit and they offered it to me, I'll give it a shot just to see. But I can't imagine, they're tiny animals. There's not a lot of meat on those. It would be a little, I don't know. It's weird. But, you know, hey, it's meat. So, 95. Jeez. R2 is going to make me keep scrolling. 95 comes from, ooh, it's Ron. Ron says, what time is it, Mike? It is 12:17 p.m. On a Saturday. Do you know where your kids are? Yep, I sure do. Really? What kind of parents are you if you don't know where your kids are? Well, I think I almost always know where my kids are. I mean, okay, relatively close. Like, I know what town Jacob is in, and I assume he's in his apartment and he's gaming with his friend Todd, because I think that's what he said he was doing today. But I haven't talked to Jacob today. I talk to him every day, but I just haven't talked to him today yet. It's early. Aiden is in his apartment sleeping, because he was in my house until about 5 in the morning. And then he went home, and I'm sure he is in his apartment asleep because he doesn't work yet. And then my other two kids are over at a Halloween carnival. They're working the Halloween carnival. And this is a fundraiser for the drama club, for the school. And they do this every year. And oh my God, this is a money maker for them. The carnival, I mean, look, the carnival's going to have a bounce house, and it's going to have a reptile hut with, you know, actual hands-on reptile exhibits. And it's going to have some shooting games and some ring toss games and some, you know, there's going to be candy everywhere and prizes and video games and all sorts of stuff. And they make decent money off the carnival. But the haunted house, oh my God. My kids, they did the haunted house last night, and in past years it's been so successful that they're now doing it Friday and Saturday on Halloween weekend this year. And they went last night, and Jacob is dressed as a prisoner. He's got the orange jumpsuit. And he stands in an area where they've got this dark hallway. It's all dark hallways, but he's got this dark hallway where they've got some fake prison bars set up. And him and his buddy Zach are both in this same area. And Eli's costume consists of the prison jumpsuit, a leather face style mask, and a baseball bat. And so he's standing behind bars, and so when people first come around the corner, he reaches out through the bars and he growls at them and startles them as they first come in. And then he says every single time people forget, they just assume because he's there and he's behind bars, they're like, okay, that's where he is, done. Well, as soon as they move to walk on, he just slips out of the bars on the other side and then appears behind them farther up the thing, freaks them out every time. And with the bat, the people setting up the haunted house put a little table there at the end so that when he comes up on people, he can come swinging the bat down on this table. And as they're always freaked out and they're running, they assume he's swinging the bat at them. And so when it hits the table, big loud noise, everyone gets super scared. But Eli's job is to chase them. They have to go out the door and into the back of the prisoner transport van, which is just somebody's minivan that's sitting there with the back open. And so the people going through the haunted house have to go, you know, out the door, crawl into the back of the van through the hatch, and then they have to go out the side door of the van. So they have to crawl through, and they have to go out the side door of the van to get back out onto the next part of the path. And for some reason, none of them ever see that Zach is sitting in the front seat of the van. They don't see him at all. And Zach is wearing greatest Halloween mask ever. It is, it's like a scarecrow mask, so it's like a canvas face, and it's got these ghoulish looking eyes in it, but it's just this canvas face on it, like a scarecrow. And I'm sorry, I'm covering my face with my hands to demonstrate the mask, and instead of getting the reference, I'm making all you guys get is my muffled voice talking through my hands. But here's the best part, is the way it's strapped to his head, the mask is built so that when Zach opens his mouth, like the controls are just his jaw. He opens his mouth, and the canvas parts and opens wide, and there are these huge, ghoulish, bloody fangs inside. I mean, like, creepy, scary, bloody. I mean, you don't see that coming at all. So it's, I mean, like, scarecrow face, and he gets up close to you, and then he opens that mouth, and there's teeth, and, oh, it's gruesome. And freaks him out every time. Because, like I say, they're crawling through the van, and so they're annoyed at having to crawl through the van and trying to get out the door. So they're focused on the task at hand. They don't see Zach up front, and all of a sudden, he turns around with the scarecrow face. He screeches at them in his pterodactyl voice with those teeth coming open and his arm waving back there trying to grab people. It's a thing of beauty. So Noah is super proud of himself because Noah is a haunted tree in the Evil Dead portion of this maze, and he has a great spot where he gets to jump out, and he gets to be this huge jump scare. Makes him so happy. So anyway, the kids are having a good time, is what I'm saying. They can't stop talking about it. And I spent most of the evening, well, it's because it wasn't worth it to drive home, so I just waited around for him, and did some work, played on my phone, whatever. And I'm watching the front door, and there are kids that are going in, and they're going through the haunted house, and then they come back out. They're laughing. They're talking about how awesome it was. They're grabbing more friends, and then they're going back in and doing it again. Some of these kids went through 3 or 4 times in this haunted house, which at like $8 a pop or whatever it is that they're charging, that's not cheap. And yet these kids just kept going back through and going back through, and it was I'm just astounded at how effective it is. For this little small town haunted house, so much fun. So the kids are having a blast. They're thrilled with themselves. They're really proud of how things are going. So that's where my kids are. Was that your question? Do you know where your kids are? Yeah, I know where they are. They're right now running a carnival and handing out candy. And in just a few hours, they will be scaring the pants off of teenagers. So that's their job. Let's keep going. 67. 67 is from Ronster, obviously. And he says, what is something you say a lot? You guys would know better than I would. I say love a lot. I say, here's the thing. I can't even tell you. There's a few things that I have. And I noticed some of them when I listened back. I haven't been really focused on any of those lately. But, you know. Send me my list. What are things that I say a lot? What are things that I say too much? Things that either annoy you when I bring them up, or maybe even just things that give you a little chuckle because it's a Mike-ism that I use all the time. What are my particular verbal quirks while I'm recording? You let me know. 34 comes from Ronster. Monster says, how awesome would a remake of the 1980s movie Dragnet be? Dragnet was pretty cool. I mean, for being a cheesy movie, I feel like the 80s Dragnet was a bad movie, and yet I remember it fondly and the quotes from it fondly, although... Yeah, there are parts of it that drag, and it's a little uneven, and it's a little weird, but I don't know if it would be awesome, but I think the time is right for it. Because I think if I went back and watched it now, I think there's a lot of stuff in it that's a little problematic as far as the treatment of women. But, you know, I think right now would be a good time to remake Dragnet. I think that could be a lot of fun for somebody. 24. No, seriously, how many Ronsters do we need this week? Because this will be our 6th one. And this is, oh, shoot, I've numbered them all wrong. Oh, I'm terrible at this game. 24 is from Ronster, obviously. And there we go. That's his sixth one. Would you drink... okay. Let me read the question as it was intended first. No, you know what? I'm gonna read it as written first, and you're just gonna have to deal with that. So, Ron says, would you drink MILF from a lactating sea creature if you were sequestered away on a backwater planet trying to live as a space wizard hermit? Okay. First off, I don't even know that it's appropriate to drink MILF, but would you drink milk from a lactating sea creature? We're clearly referring to Luke Skywalker and his blue milk. And yeah, sure. I don't care. I have no problem with drinking milk from a lactating sea creature. If it's healthy and nutritional, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, I drink milk from cows. I obviously I'm not that picky. What's the difference? Although, oh man. Okay, you guys, maybe you remember my cheese nerd phase. I still love cheese, and I still will occasionally try out a new cheese. And Yancey and I had a couple of them this week that were just amazing. There was a goat's milk Gouda that I've tried a couple of goat milk cheeses before, and yeah, whatever, they were cheese. But this goat's milk Gouda that he brought was stunning. Oh, it was so good. All right, because I've decided that my absolute favorite cheeses is anything that tastes of Red Leicester. If you've ever had Red Leicester, that's to me, that is the defining cheese of this group. That have this very sharp flavor to them. That is very unique, and I love the Red Leicester flavor. I love it. It's almost a Parmesan, but much sharper and stronger. And I really enjoy it. And Red Leicester has a gritty mouthfeel to it. It's granular. But still super, super good. The goat's milk Gouda had that same taste, that same sharp Red Leicester kind of taste to it, but it was just smooth, really smooth. And I love that. It's kind of melt in your mouth, kind of smooth. Man, that was a good cheese. Speaking of milk from odd creatures like goats or lactating sea creatures. So anyway, man, that was a good cheese. So, all right. 45. 45 makes number 7 for Ronster and an even dozen overall. So I think this is where we are going to stop. And Ronster says, if you were to contribute a gadget to Inspector Gadget's arsenal of gadgets, what would it be? Go Mike Jones gadget. Okay. Man, that is a great one. The downside to this question, though, is I had never watched a lot of Inspector Gadget, so I don't know what his list of gadgets already includes. I am just not up on it, and I don't know how to use Google, so there's no way for me to possibly know. So my gut is to go with something completely unwieldy, like Go-Go Gadget Sherman Tank, Go-Go Gadget Submarine, Go-Go Gadget Assault Drone, or else something... completely trivial and mundane, like Go-Go Gadget Bicycle Horn or Go-Go Gadget Egg Beater. But I'm guessing that the Bicycle Horn and Egg Beater or some equivalent of those have probably already appeared in the actual show. So that would be tough to go with those. Ah, you know what? We're making a baker's dozen. I don't feel like I did that justice for you, man. I'm sorry. So let's try this again. And this one is a 96... And 96 is, do clowns creep you out? No. Clowns don't bother me. Not even creepy clowns. I mean, look, Pennywise was creepy because, God, he's Pennywise. And he's great at that. But creepy clowns are just kind of gross for the most part. They don't really creep me out. And real clowns, regular clowns, non-horror movie scary clowns. No, they don't bother me at all. It's just a dude in makeup, and they're actually, I'm one of those people who was raised to think that clowns were funny and entertaining and maybe a little cheesy, but in general, I like clowns. I grew up on Bozo the Clown as my morning entertainment, and I don't have any problem with them. I really don't. How about animatronic things? No, again, the uncanny valley of animatronics does not get to me. So those don't particularly bother me, really. I'm usually more fascinated by the mechanism and more fascinated by how effective they are. Uncanny valley stuff in general doesn't creep me out. It doesn't disturb me, but it is noticeable. And it is interesting to notice that, okay, as much as they tried to make this look like a real person, it clearly doesn't. But man, can you put your finger on what's wrong with it? Is it just something about the eyes? Is it something about the facial expression? Is it something about the way it moves? It doesn't creep me out, but I am interested in it. Weird. Okay. Well, all right. That's all I got. That was it. 13. We're done. So, let's turn it over to GLaDOS, and she'll give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I don't think I had any, but if I did, all the songs I use are available on iTunes, where you would check them out, buy them, enjoy them, because I don't put things in my podcast if I don't love them or want to rage about them, I suppose. Songs. I don't put them in my podcast if I don't love them. All right. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write us a nice review because those things make a difference. Well, write me a crappy review, good review, doesn't matter. Give me 5 stars. That makes a difference. I don't know how their algorithm works. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends because you're enjoying it. So you're going to go out there and spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me, the Nerd Pride Radio Podcast, and Bicoastal Disorder, which just released episode number 4, where they had a live episode where they weren't bicoastal because they were actually together and hanging out. And it is really cool. So, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me, like Emily did. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on various social medias, whatever. But to be completely honest, best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I'm there all the time. All the time. Easy to find. You sign up, you send me a message, we hang out together. We become best friends in the world. We have fun. Now it's time for listener betrayal, which I'm recording on a Saturday morning. Let's see what happens. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and I post up, "Hey guys, I am recording anything you want to say." I'll read it off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. First up, I go out to my forums, where I posted up and said, "Sorry for taking a couple weeks off. Share with me the coolest thing you learned while I was away. Or just talk whatever," and they whatever, because there's nothing here, which is fine. So let me post up done. And yeah, I know Aiden's got a passel of movies under his belt that he's ready to start reviewing, and he's been itching to come talk. And I wish that he hadn't been up all night and sleeping now, because I would have loved to have had him here. Plus, his platinum list is the best for listener betrayal. Those guys are awesome. So, should I start that up? Should I just be texting you people? Is that what you need? Ugh. All right. Next up, I have. Oh, this is on Facebook. Did anyone comment? I don't see anything. Let's see. 246. Here it is. And whoa. Hey, no, there's plenty of responses to this. Awesome. You guys are so good. All right. I've got David. David says, my son's marching band won regionals last week. This is our first kid to actively want to be involved in extracurriculars, so the next 4 years should be really busy. Oh, dude, I love marching band. I really do. I mean, yeah, my kids, we just competed at state for marching band, and they don't rank the marching bands in terms of first place, second place, etc. However, our marching band did get ranked superior, the highest possible rating at state competition. So therefore, super proud. They did an awesome job. They were doing the Songs of Billy Joel this year, and it was pretty good. So next up is Nellie, and Nellie says, did I miss it? No, Nellie, you didn't miss it. You're here. And then she says, oh, my God, I made it. All right, cool. And then she says, my happy thought, thank God con season is almost over. Turns out that when it's your job, it's not as exciting. Oh, that is a shame. That, I feel bad for you because you know what? You know what? My con experience, Gen Con, is nearly the happiest time of the year for me. I look forward to Gen Con, the experience of getting to see old friends, meet new friends, play games, experience new stuff, nonstop going and action for 4 days. Love it. I can imagine that would be exhausting if it was every weekend or every month all year long. I get it. But, I feel bad for you because again, you gotta take joy in stuff. Be as happy as Jim is fishing. That's what I say. the next one is from Jeff Hawes. Jeff Hawes's happy thought is hold on. It's my son. Hey, what up, son? Oh, all right, cool. What can I do for you? All right. I can be there. I love you. I'll see you in a minute. Bye. That was Elijah, and Elijah is just finishing up. He's not finishing up. They're in the middle of that carnival, and he says, dude, is there any way you can come over? I need water. Can you please bring me a big bottle of water? It sounds like he's exhausted. He's on the shooting range, and it's a lot of back and forth, a lot of fetching stuff, a lot of resetting all of the targets. It's some work. So, and he knew it was going to be hard when he got there, but he's a hard worker. Anyway, where I was laughing and where I got interrupted here is Jeff Hawes replied to this because I had asked for, give me your happy moment from the last couple of weeks. And Jeff Hawes said, the Jones, referring to my brother, in a Britney t-shirt, which my brother, who they got done with a bunch of stuff, and again, their house was wiped out, all their stuff is gone, he had no clean clothes, so he posted up a picture and said, thank God for Walmart and a $5 Britney shirt. And so there's my brother, who is, you know, a 40-something-year-old man who is built like I am built. He's a big dude like me. And he is wearing his Britney Spears Hit Me Baby One More Time t-shirt that he got at Walmart for $5. And it's adorable. So, very cool. And then that looks like the end of my listener betrayal. So let me say done. And make sure that I didn't miss anything else while I was doing this. Nope, that is the last of them. So, wow, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being patient with me while I'm away. I am working on making this better. We're rearranging the schedule because clearly things kind of drifted, and I'm going to fix this up. It may take me a bit to get it right, but we will get there. Love you guys. You're awesome. I will talk to you next week.